Doctor, so let's talk about specifically preventative healthcare in for both you know, experts that you see that come down here and for locals. Are there things that you see are going up in trend for diagnoses, you know, things that you would advise locals and experts that are coming here or are living here that, you know, you probably should, us as a community, should start focusing more on? Because I know preventing is better than curing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Prevention is really important. I think I'd like to address one other thing with specifically for expats. When they come down, I see a lot of patients who are on high blood pressure medication and thyroid medication that it needs to be really adjusted once they get here. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, decreased stress, change of life, change of environment, closeness to the equator, but it always needs tweaking. So I always send them to a specialist. And 9 times out of 10, most blood pressure patients come back and they might have been like on, you know, 6 tablets and now they only need to have 2. So it gets adjusted.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that is actually true, because I have clients that come, you know, they're obviously, yeah, they're older, and they say, Jim, it's just when you come down here, it just, yeah, feels like, you know, you're just...
You breathe better, weight, yeah, lifted off your shoulders.
You know, and our air quality is better too. Mm-hmm. You gotta realize that as well. And then being next to the ocean and with the vegetation and stuff, we've got a lot of good natural oxygen, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing. And the thyroid too, I see the thyroid needs to get tweaked quite a bit here. And again, thyroid can be very tricky. And so I do send them to a specific person. And then overall, the biggest diseases we have in Belize are diabetes and hypertension. And I think one of the biggest things is education and just teaching people what to eat and what not to eat. What are the things you can have? They hear all the time, I can't. I can't have this. I can't have that. Well, what can you have? So I like to approach it from that way of, here's the things you can have. Incorporate those into your life and teach them how to know what the good sugars are and the bad sugars are. With high blood pressure, what are your triggers? You know, is it, you know, some individuals, it's certain people trigger them. For some individuals, it's, they, you know, they got a lot of sugar, they have a lot of stress, or they're not drinking enough water. I always say that, you know, the 3 leading risk factors in hypertension are family history, being male, and being of African descent. And I tell my patients all the time, I'm not of African descent, I'm not male, but I've been on blood pressure medicine since I was 29, and I'm 55 now. Both my parents had it. It's just in the cards for me. And then once you have hypertension, we have to watch out for cholesterol and sugar. And any of those, if you have sugar, we have to watch out for cholesterol and hypertension. If you have cholesterol, we have to watch out for sugar and hypertension. So the 3 travel together. So once you have one, you want to watch out for the others and prevent.
Yeah,
because prevention is better than treatment.
Yes.
The number one reason in Belize for people to be on dialysis is because of uncontrolled hypertension. So I always say a pill a day keeps dialysis away. Mm-hmm. You know, just do it. I don't want to get hooked on it. I don't want to become dependent on it. Well, do you want to be, you know, dependent on dialysis?
Right.
You know, I you have to do something to get through to people to understand that this really is an important issue, and it's not something to ignore. And some people want to ignore it, and then that's their choice. Mm-hmm. You know, as a physician, I can only provide you with as much information as possible, but in the end, it's your choice.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But sugar, and then also seeing increases in colon cancer. Mm-hmm. So making sure people are doing their colonoscopies as soon as, if you've got colon cancer in your family, if the person was diagnosed with colon cancer, say like at 50, you should start getting screened 10 years before at 40. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, normally you start at 50. Mm-hmm. Cervical cancer.
So is that something regardless?
Mm-hmm. Regardless.
You should start regardless. At 50.
You should start at 50. Mm-hmm. Cervical cancer is higher risk when you're younger for women, and testicular cancer is younger men. So women get your pap smears, men need to do their testicle exam. Breast exams, how to do your breast exam. We don't have enough being taught how to do their breast exam because each breast is different and you need to know what your own topography is, what's your normal. Mm-hmm. And then when something's abnormal, then you know. Mm-hmm. And breast cancer increases with risk as we age. So younger means that it was more aggressive if they got it when they were younger. But the incidence of getting breast cancer as we age increases. I've got a condition called fibrocystic breast disease, meaning they keep growing. And they are very fibrous and very dense. So on a mammogram, we can't see everything. So I also have to do an ultrasound. So there's that importance as well. Because if the tissue is very dense, something can hide behind it and we won't necessarily see it. So that's important too. I have a lot of women come and say, you know, my breasts hurt so much. And do an ultrasound, yep, you have fibrocystic breast disease. Mm-hmm. It's benign, it's not gonna hurt you, but it can be painful and it does put you at greater risk of something being missed. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't increase your chances. For men, prostate, you know, they should start getting their prostate PSAs done at age 50 because we've lost a lot of people to prostate cancer. During COVID, there were a lot of cancer patients I had to help and because they couldn't get out to do their chemo. So that's important. Do your PSAs, get those checked before it gets out of control. Another thing I would like to address is that we don't really have palliative care.
Could you explain?
Because palliative care.
I personally don't know what it is.
Palliative care is hospice, so end of life care. So people who have a terminal illness, whether it's cardiac, cancer, Alzheimer's, HIV, you know, anything that's terminal. Most families tend to take care of it on their own. I help with that. There is a hospice palliative care society in Belize City, but we don't really have one on the island. So really the only way people know is through word of mouth that I assist with that type of thing. I don't charge for that. My father went through hospice and I feel that's my way to give back. And I think it's really important because a lot of people talk about life, but nobody talks about how to die. And dying is part of life. I'm sorry, I just had a patient pass a couple days ago. So that is important too. And that's something expats don't think about either. What happens when, if you die here, you know, they really should be registering with the U.S. Embassy. We do have two wardens on the island. And so I always notify the wardens if I have a patient going into palliative care. I notify the police because they need to know so that when the person actually passes that it's not from suspicious causes. Mm-hmm. You know, the U.S. Embassy is notified immediately because anything that goes in on a police record is seen immediately by them both there in Canada. And they want to know that their citizens are being well cared for. So it's important, you know, Do you want the body to go back to the U.S.? Do you want to do cremation? Do you know? So those are things that people don't talk about either, and that's something important to know. What are your wishes? You know, do you have a do not resuscitate, a DNR? Do you have a living will? Do you have the finance to be able to do this? Because we do have a morgue on the island. However, it can only hold you for a certain period of time. And then, you know, it costs money to get buried. It costs money to be cremated.
We're talking about in the last funerals, episode. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking about funerals. It's expensive to die. It's expensive.
Well, they're saying it's expensive to live, too. But you're right, planning it, getting a good, better idea of costs.
Yeah, because if you want to be cremated, you got to make sure that you've got a boat captain on site, so that on standby, so that they can take the body to the city, to the funeral home, because cremations can only be done on the mainland. You know, and then how do you get the remains back? Do you want to have some of the remains to be able to go to the U.S.? So then you need to have the certificate to be able to carry them to the U.S., you know? So you can't just take body remains in your suitcase. That's highly frowned upon because they need to know
what they're transporting.
Yes, and that the person was cremated properly and with consent of the family, you know? So that's important too. So planning the death is as important as planning the life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. That's great. Point.